You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 10, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. Everyone's invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live SoundCloud taping for fervent prayer for America. And then when the Holy Spirit leads, I pray for healing and deliverance. You're also invited to come every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, and SoundCloud taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place, the farmer's market. Healthy, Christian, wonderful produce place, he did not pay me to say that, is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth. Now, we've learned that the chapter Hebrews, chapter 4, is all about rest, but it's not talking about taking a nap. It's talking about peace of mind. We learned the children of Israel did not enter into the rest because of their unbelief. And last time we studied verses 1 through 9, and the theme was the word plus faith equals rest. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, you have a God job to do, parentheses, and there is where you'll find rest. You have a God job to do, and there is where you'll find rest. You want to know what it is, don't you? Well, the Lord's going to tell you.
Verse 10, for he who has entered into his rest,
he, that's you, if you've entered into the rest of Jesus, if you are saved, remember Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
He also has ceased from his own works.
Now, wait a minute. You still got to go on your job. You're still a truck driver, a plumber, a cashier, a business owner, a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, some kind of a secretary. How can you rest while you labor? Well, here's why. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified, yet I live. Yet not I, Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then John 14, verse 10, I of myself do nothing. The Father within, he doeth the work.
As God did from his.
God ceased from his labor when Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. He was on that cross 6 hours because in biblical numerics, six is a number of depraved mankind. But when he had paid everybody's sin debt who would receive that, he said, it is finished. It's a done deal. He never again had to pay our sin debt. Everything that we ever need has already been done, but we have to accept that. Even when he resurrected from the dead, he went back to heaven. He sits on the right hand of God. Notice he's sitting down. He's still working. He's doing a lot of things, but he never, ever, ever has to do his great labor. The sin debt has been paid, and Jesus paid it all.
Amen. Verse 11. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief.
Now that sounds like an oxymoron. That big word oxymoron means you say one thing, but it sounds like you contradict yourself. Okay, how can you work and actually rest at the same time? Here's how. Every one of you has a God job to do, and you want to know what that God job is. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to quit your plumbing and your cashier and your business and your pharma and your market and your lawyer and doctor and secretary. Doesn't mean that unless God tells you to do. Every one of you has a God job to do, and in that, you have that perfect peace. In other words, that's your pay, and it's wonderful. You work, for the night is coming when man can work no more, but you have that peace. So what is your God job? You want to know, don't you? Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. What does ambassador for Christ do? You reconcile people back to God. You bring them back to God. In America, we've got ambassadors. And when they go to other countries, they represent the country. If you're saved and sanctified, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. That is your work, whether you're a secretary, a cashier, a plumber, a farmer, a business owner, or even a minister like me. Whatever we do, we all have the same God job to do. Are you in your God job? You want to be an ambassador for Christ. Well, how do you do that? I'm going to give you four S's. It stands for success. Success in being an ambassador for Christ. First of all, you have to get saved. You can't represent him unless you get saved. Now, I realize we're going all over the world now, and I imagine there are people out there listening to me now. You're not saved. So before the program is over, I'm going to give you a chance to be saved so you also can be an ambassador of Christ and do your God job. You have to confess that you've sinned, repent of your sin, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and confess that Jesus is Lord. Okay, but you're still not an ambassador for Christ. The next thing you have to do is you have to surrender your all to Jesus. Now you know why we just played that song. Surrender your all to Jesus. What does that mean? You empty yourself of yourself. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. What will that have me do? You're no longer about what I'm going to be when I grow up. I want to marry that person. I want to do that job. I want to get that house. I want to get that money. This is what I like to do. This is fun. My video machines, my cell phone. No. Surrender your all. Empty yourself of all. Now, if you surrendered your all, there is evidence of that. Then you will, and yielded and emptied, you will have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be an ambassador of Christ unless you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you don't have the baptism, you can't be led by the Holy Spirit, and so you're not the son of God. Better go check your saving again. Okay, you surrendered your all. Okay. Now, how can we know that you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 1, Jesus was about to ascend to heaven, and he told the disciples, now they were saved, they believed in Jesus, but they didn't have the baptism. They were saved, they were not yet ready to be ambassadors for Christ. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait. Surrender. Boy, you have to surrender when you wait. In the upper room, wait for the promise of the Father. It'll be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So in Acts 2 verse 4, they all went in the upper room and they waited and they waited and they waited. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, sat upon them like cloven tongues of fire, God's consuming fire. And guess what happened? They all spake in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. The baptism, the Holy Spirit enters in. Now let me ask you a question. If you go to your neighbor's house, are you going to still speak in your own language? Yes. The Holy Spirit takes over. So tongue means the Holy Spirit's language. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, he comes in, he takes over, and he speaks in his language. Look at that. Now, you're getting ready to be an ambassador of Christ. We got to do some more. The third S, to be successful as an ambassador of Christ, you must be sanctified. What does sanctified mean? Set apart for holy use. Again, it's not, I want to do this, me, myself, and I. This is what I'd like to do. I'll go to church sometime. I'll go on Sunday, but I won't go on Wednesday. No. Sanctified, set apart for holy use. Again, like little Samuel, speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. What would thou have me do? Here am I, send me. I will. Your life then, you no longer, you give up your dreams, you give up your ambitions, you give up what you thought you were supposed to be, you give up what your mom and daddy told you to be, you give up what your girlfriend or boyfriend told you to be, you give up what the world says you should be. What will you have me do? Set apart for holy use, your life you give. I will be full time whatever you want me to be. Now remember, that could be a secretary or a cashier. But we're going to find out what your God job is, which is being ambassador for Christ in that or in something else. Now, your fourth S, to make you a successful ambassador of Christ, it's a twin. It's search and study. In John chapter 8, Jesus said to search the scriptures. That's the word of God. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now remember, the ambassador of Christ is going to reconcile people back to God. And in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So you got to know the Word to reconcile them back. See, that's your preparation. Now, as you study the Word, you have to believe the Word. See, God is the Word. Again, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God. Before there was a body called Jesus, before there was a book called Bible, the Word is God. The Word of Bible is God-breathed. Jesus wrote that, his Holy Spirit of Jesus, through holy men of old. So, let every man be a liar, God is true. He does not alter the thing that goes out of his life. So you have to believe the Word. If the doctor says you're sick and can't live, the Word says with Jesus' stripes you are healed. Whose report are you going to believe? Amen. You believe the Word. And that's not all. Under that search and study, you got to obey the Word. We talked about last week. You know, you can't just lie active there. You got to get up and do the Word. Okay, now you're equipped. If you said yes to all the above, now you are ready to be an ambassador for Christ. So what do you do? Every day of your life, go into your prayer closet. It doesn't have to be a closet, but someplace. No cell phones, no radio, no music, no cat, no dog, no frog, no people, nobody. Just you and God. And you'll pray for other people. An ambassador for Christ rarely prays for themselves, just so they'll be right with God, but they pray for other people. You will become an intercessory prayer by name. And you start praying for people who are not saved by name. The greatest reward in this lifetime for an intercessory prayer is you pray long hours by name for people. They don't even know you're praying for them. They don't know you're calling their name. They're about their own business. And one day you see their life change and you say, yes, God. Amen. So that's the first thing, but that's not all. Then in your prayer closet there you say, please put someone on my heart today, not next week. Don't just let me win one soul. Let me witness to somebody every day. So he'll answer that. So you got to be alert. The next person who texts you or emails you on your smartphone, the next person who calls you on the phone, the person you meet when you go out the door, the person who stops at the store and speaks to you, that person on the job meets you at the water cooler, that's your mission field. Everybody you meet is your mission field. And your God job as an ambassador for Christ is to reconcile them back to God. So you start a conversation. First of all, listen. Listen to their heart. Most people are going to tell you trouble, because the world is a trouble mess right now. Now, listen a little while, but don't let it take you over. Don't agree with that trouble. Smile and listen. Shake your head. Love them. And say, I've got the solution to your trouble. And tell them that there's an almighty God who can solve their troubles. That he loved them so much he sent his son who died in their stead. Tell them Romans 3:23 that all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Tell them Romans 6:23, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Said, look, you're still in a troubled world, but you can have peace, you can have rest to your soul. Would you like to know Jesus? May I pray with you to receive the God of the universe, and he will give you peace. Many of them are going to say yes. Some will say no. If they say no, I love you, if you change your mind, call me. Go on to the next person. If they say yes, you're not through. Pray the prayer of salvation with them. Every service I ever have, you hear it over and over and over. They must confess that they've sinned. They must repent of their sin. That means stop it, quit right then. They must believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And they must confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. When they do that, hug them. What's the next thing you do? Don't leave them there, because many a person's been saved and they go right back like a dog goes back to his vomit. They go back to the drugs, back to the alcohol, back to self-centered videos, worshiping the television, worshiping the computer, on and on and on, greed and money. No, no, no. Invite them to church, but make sure that your church, whoever is in charge, teaches the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And when they left off this week, they start the next week. But that's not enough. Make sure that whoever's teaching, hey, Hakasasa has a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Great is our God. Great that Amen. You can praise. Amen. Because that kind of a person is going to bring them up and baptize them with water and pray with them to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and give them a Bible. Now, you're an ambassador for Christ. Guess what your pay is? You have peace. Amen. You have rest. But that's not all. You get a bonus. What's your bonus?
Verse 12. For the word of God is quick.
The word is the Bible, the word inside of you, and he is Jesus. Remember Galatians 2:20? I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. Jesus is in you, and he is the living word, and he's in you, and he is life. Proverbs 4:20-22, thy word is life to those that find them. Not only for you, but now you can do what Jesus, who's doing it for you, inside of you, he does it. You can raise the dead.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In more ways than one, dead in sin or dead on the deathbed. Amen. That's right. That's Jesus does that. He's life in you.
Amen. And powerful.
This means energy or strength. The supernatural energy, the supernatural power of God. You go from strength to strength. He increases your strength. Even in old age, you'll be strong and flourishing. Anybody who's an ambassador of Christ is never boring, is never dead. If you lived 120, you got a life about
Amen.
You. Far more than the teenagers was, oh, okay, hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at the bonuses you got here. And guess what? You can share that strength and that life with others, because that's what you do when you do your God job.
And sharper than any two-edged sword.
The word is in you. Who's the word? Jesus. The Bible is inside of you. If you are saved, he lives in you. Not you, but he lives in you. Revelation 1 says the tongue of Jesus is the word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And that word rising up in you cuts out sickness out of you, cuts out lies that come to you, and cuts out anything the devil would come to destroy you. It is written. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit.
The word is so sharp. You are a spirit. The spirit is the intellect of your soul. Your soul is your will and emotion. Now, for you to get saved, the Word of God, you heard it somewhere, and the Word of God touched your spirit and saved your spirit, for you were dead in trespasses of sin. Now your spirit is saved, and it's okay. But your spirit, your soul are together. Your soul is your will, your emotion. I want to, me, myself, and I feel this way. I don't want to go to church on Wednesday night. I don't want to watch video games and call my friends on the phone. I don't want to win souls to Jesus. I don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to give it all. I don't want to give up my money, my life, my time for God. But the Word of God will convict you. All to Jesus I surrender. Where He leads me, I will follow. It's all or nothing for an ambassador of Christ doing the work of God. Just surrenders there, all to Jesus. See, most people, Christians, I'm sorry to say, you've got your spirit saved, but you've got your will, your emotions, and you live in a flesh body. That soul wants to lean over here. That would be your left, to the left. Oh, we never go to the left, to the body. I do what the body says. I want to, me, myself, and I don't want to do that. I want to do that. But the Word of God will cause that soul, your will, your emotions, yourself, to come back up and lean toward the Spirit. And then you're a vessel of honor. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're ready to do God's job.
Amen.
Out of the joints and marrow.
Now remember, you live, yet not you. Christ lives in you. The healer's in the house. The healer's in the house. You're the temple of the living God. If you're saved, Jesus in you. Well, isn't he the healer? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So then, if your joints are hurting, or you got a sickness to your marrow there, you say, wow, Son of Righteousness, look down. Arise with healing in your wings. That's how I do it. I'm an old as Methuselah. I take absolutely no medicine. You ever heard an old person taking no medicine? I take no drugs, and I'm well. Amen. I am totally healed. The blindness is not a sickness. Something fell on my head. That's another story for another time. I am totally healthy. Amen. I am young, and I'm strong, and I'm vital, and I'm alive, and my memory's good. Why is that? The healer lives in my house. And when my body is attacked, because it will be attacked, because we live in a world of mess here, I just say, I fear the Lord. Son of Righteousness, rise with healing's wings. I don't take drugs. I don't go to doctors. He just starts rising up. Amen. And boy, I don't have any pain in my joints. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at that. The healer's in your house. That's your bonus for being ambassador for Christ.
Amen. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Jesus said the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Word of God keeps your heart pure.
Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do.
The word have to do in the original Greek language means throat. Like those of you go to doctors, they say, open your mouth so I can see your throat, so I can see what's going on in there. In other words, God is omnipresent. God is everywhere at the same time. God is omniscient. He knows everything about everything. So an ambassador of Christ doesn't hide anything from Him. He knows you. He sees you.
Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession.
A priest loves you, teaches you, and prays all the time for you. Yes, Jesus is King of Kings of the tribe of Judah by Mary's father, Heli, but He's also the tribe of Levi, the priest line, by her mother. He's at the right hand of God, and He prays for you. Now let us hold fast the profession of our faith. to get saved, you have to profess or confess or say your confession there. That's why I tell everybody, with a mouth, confess is made to salvation. It means confess is profess. Now, you're a Christian now. You're an ambassador. So you can pray to the Father in Jesus' name. He's your high priest, okay? So let's just say you're fighting some physical thing. You say, Father, in Jesus' name, this sickness is on me. Heal me, heal me, heal me. I'm sick. You get what you say because you profess that. He can't help you there. You're going to stay sick. But if you profess what he says, he's the high priest. Hallelujah. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. With Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of God. I recover health and cure. He brings a health and cure. He gives you what you say. Whatever you say, he's the high priest. If you say the wrong thing, you're going to have the wrong thing. Now, what about storms? We know about those in Florida. Hurricane coming your way. Oh, Lord God, in Jesus' name, may this old hurricane come away. Wait just a minute. He's the high priest of your perfection. Christ in you makes a storm a calm. I've done this 1,000 times, and he never did get me. I did it this week when a tornado was coming to Florida. I just said, Father, in the name of Jesus, Jesus, you live in me, and you're the one who makes the storm a calm. You're the one who said, peace be still. So I said, in the mighty name of Jesus, by Christ Jesus who lives in me, he makes a storm a calm. Peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still. Guess what? It was still. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 See, you love the Lord, but you're talking too much about your trouble. Your trouble is your God. Why don't you make Jesus, the living word, your God?
Amen. Verse 15. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities.
He feels everything you do. He knows about rejection. He knows about pain. He knows about all kinds of betrayal.
But was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin.
Every temptation the devil's ever brought to any human being, the devil tried that with Jesus. But he resisted the devil. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. For greater is he who's in you than he was in the world. Amen. See, you don't resist him. You just say, oh, no, resist him. He'll flee from you. Amen. Been there, done that.
Verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace.
Okay, Jesus is up there praying for us. Boldly does not mean arrogantly or proud. It means with the trust of a child. His word is truth.
That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Unmerited favor, love. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You have a God job to do. And when you do that God job, whatever it is, it might be what you're doing now, but now you're going to do your God job in that job. Or like myself, you might have to stop everything with $45, say, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Whatever it is, that's where you're going to find rest. That's where your rest is. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Let me introduce to you now the owner of the produce place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm very, very well, Miss Sherry. What awesome, awesome word today.
Awesome word tonight. Well, bless the body of Christ if they will do it.
They will.
David left his stuff in the car. Does he go put his stuff in the bag? What is Scott's stuff?
In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalms 62, 7 and 8.
Amen. Great, Scott. That's absolutely perfect. Thank you very much. That is so perfect. We did not collude. The Holy Spirit led him there. Now, before I pray for healing, it's time for you to be saved if you're not saved. Out there in the world, I love you with all my heart. Jesus loves you. Pray this prayer with me. Mean it. No robots here. Mean it. And God will save you right now. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them right now. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord.
Save me.
Save me.
Forgive me for all my sins.
Forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Sanctify me through thy truth.
Sanctify me through thy truth.
And use me.
And use me.
To be an ambassador for Christ. To get souls saved.
To
reconcile them back to Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, for those of you in cyberspace who got saved, confession with the mouth is made to salvation. I invite you to call me, and my announcer, Scott's going to give you my telephone number. You also may email me, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com. That's Shari Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com. And when I get it, I'll pray for you. I'm not able to call all of you back. That's impossible. But I love you. I get your message. And welcome to the family of God. Now, anyone who's physically sick or emotionally sick, let me pray for you. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, who bore all of our sicknesses, he was beaten with 39 stripes, and all of our sicknesses were on his back. For everyone who fears his name now, loves him, his name is called the Word of God. In Jesus' name, O Son of Righteousness, ho, arise with healing in your wings. Let the healing virtue of Jesus come into the backbone and spine, into the joints and marrow, into the heart, into the head, into the ears, into the nose, the sinuses. Allergies be gone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be gone sickness, be gone pain, be gone allergies, be gone cancer, be gone hernias, be gone arthritis, be gone emotional fear in the name of Jesus. Be gone in Jesus' name. He sent his word and healed you. I delivered you from your destruction. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. You go from strength to strength. The Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. You recover health. And he brings a cure. He heals you of your wounds. In the mighty name of Jesus. Receive it. Believe it. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is Jesus. Look at that. He died for you. He didn't have to do that. No greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friend. I love you also with all my heart. And I'm looking forward to the next time we get together as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound on WMIE 91.5 FM. When the mountains look so big.
Heart is living for. this heart is living for.
And shout from where I am, from where I've been. He's been there with me. He's built a monument. His very people, so let his people sing, sing, sing. That's so wonderful just to be here now. Everything bleeds in praise and God. In the company of all who love the King. Praise Him under open skies. Everything bleeds in praise and God. In the company of all who love the King.
everything breathing, praising God. Build a company of all who love the King. Let us dance, let us sing. It could be heavenly. Turn the music loud and sing. It's so wonderful just to be here now. It's so wonderful just to be here now.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
Bring your tithe and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. And every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right. But that's alright, 'cause I hear a voice and it calls me every day. When others say I'll never be enough,
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
You can't pray like you ought to pray unless you know the word.
Dr. Tony Evans says the most effective prayer is based on the Bible.
90% of many of our prayers could be thrown in the trash can because they have nothing to do with God's revealed revelation.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans says praying with our children at bedtime and before meals is good, but it's not enough. Today, we'll learn the kind of prayer that gives us real access to God's authority. You'll want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 as we begin.
Jesus Christ has granted Christians authority in heaven. Not our own authority, the delegation of His authority, which means it's dependent upon His power. God has given us a wardrobe of authority, 6 pieces of armor, 3 that you're never to take off, 3 that you are to pick up as needed. The first 3 that you are to never take off has to do with the belt of truth. There must be an objective standard by which you make pragmatic decisions. Righteousness, that your new identity in Christ, whereby you have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ, is to inform how you live. There is a carrying of our feet with the shoes of the gospel, the peace of God that should govern our decision making when we're operating according to God's truth. But then take up, that is, have close enough to get to you when you need it. Your shield of faith, your helmet of salvation, and your sword in the Spirit. The only problem with those is that they can be a little bit amorphous. You might say, how do I get dressed? I'm being beaten. Satan is whipping me. He is destroying my family. He is capturing my children. He is destroying my mind. He is addicting me to this kind of influence that is controlling me, whether it's alcohol or drugs or relationship or what have you. And I understood that I have to have the right attire on if I'm going to be spiritually victorious, but my question is, how do I get dressed? Because God has given you a powerful way to access the authority that you possess, but He's only given you one way to do it. It's not by programs. It's not by techniques. It's not by formulas. It's not by doing some magical act. Some people would have you think if you say the right words the right way, if you go to this seminar, some of us are seminared out. We'd have been the 12-step, that became 24-step, that became 36-step. Now we're at a 150-step program, and we still messed up. Not because there's anything wrong with the program, but because we must start at that which God has given us that works in heavenly places. And He's only given one thing. That's why after the discussion of the armor, Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. In the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints. To put it another way, prayer gains you access to the authority of heaven. To put it another way, prayer is what dresses you up. If prayer is not a dynamic, vital, vibrant, potent, consistent, controlling, encompassing area in your Christian life, you are a nude spiritual saint. He has not only supplied the attire, He has supplied the dressing code. To put it another way, prayer is the means that we access spiritual authority. And so the issue is, how does this work? In the Bible, demons are the fleee, not Christians. And without a dynamic, and I say this to my conviction and condemnation and to us as a church, you are walking on a spiritual treadmill. moving fast, covering no ground. We have made all kind of plans, spent all kind of money, made all kind of effort to improve our spiritual life, only to find out we've been sweating on a treadmill, gaining no yardage. How about trying it God's way? Everything you need to know is in verse 18. First of all, the significance of prayer. It's in the word with. First word, with. In other words, prayer is connected to his discussion of spiritual warfare. In other words, you can't get into verse 18 if you don't remember verse 10. You can't benefit from the power of prayer in verse 18 if you've missed out on the understanding of the battle in verses 10 through 17. In verses 10 through 17, he says to stand. What does stand mean? It means don't give up any of this new territory God just won for you. He doesn't mean passively stand by and do nothing. He says Jesus Christ has won a victory for you in heavenly places. He has raised us up with him. Those who were under angels have now been raised above angels with Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil take your territory away. And for many of us, he's taken away the territory of our joy. For many of us, he's taken away the territory of our peace. For many of us, he's taken away the territory of a happy home. For many of us, he's taken away the territory of confidence in life. He's taken us away from the authoritative position that God has given us. And so he says, with, that is, in connection with the armor that I have described, make sure prayer is connected to it. But if you pray without a realization of your standing in Jesus Christ, then you won't pray right. What you do in prayer is make withdrawals, not make new deposits. God is not asking you to add to Christ. He's asking you to drop in and withdraw from the achievements of Christ. But if you don't know what Christ has done, then you're going to seek to add that which makes Christ look insufficient. He says, in light of this provision of God's armor, in light of the blessedness he's already given us, claim your authority with prayer. That's how you do it. You do it with prayer. To put it another way, without prayer, you don't get to use any of the things that God has granted you.